This podcast was recorded Thursday, April 23rd at 11:08 a.m. Things might have changed. They probably have changed by the time you hear this.
Yeah, like maybe more than 1% of Ohioans will have been tested for coronavirus.
Yeah, it's incredible how little we really know about the spread of this disease. Let's talk pandemic politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who operate in the Buckeye State. I'm Mike Thompson.
And I'm Steve Brown. Coming up in the podcast, our Mugwump of the Week, a.k.a. our Political Hero of the Week.
That's right, the anti-Snollygoster. But first, the reopening of Ohio is about to begin. Governor Mike DeWine continues to target May 1st, about a week from today, as the day the state will start what he calls a gradual reopening.
Details still scarce, though. Medical facilities, we do know, soon will resume elective surgeries and procedures, but we do not have details on which procedures will resume, how many patients. The Hospital Association has come up with a phased-in approach, but again, details still scarce.
Yes, and as for the, quote, non-essential offices, factories, stores, bars, restaurants, hair salons, tattoo parlors, as we sit here Thursday morning, we do not know which will be allowed to reopen, when they'll be allowed to reopen, and how they will reopen. The governor seems ready to rely on the free market, companies, their employees, and customers to adhere to sanitary and social distancing practices to safely open.
The incentive, I think, is everyone wants to stay safe, but everyone also wants to get back into doing some of the things that we all like to do. And so that's a balance that everybody's going to have to make.
It seems certain, though, that Ohio will not meet a key federal guideline for reopening. The White House guidelines say states must have a two-week trend of declining case numbers. And that's certainly not happening in Ohio. Our case numbers continue to climb. One reason is we're testing more, but we don't really know if the number of actual cases is growing or declining. And Department of Health Director Dr. Amy Acton says we will not have adequate testing before May 1st.
At the same time, we know that we won't have what is being recommended either in the president's plan or any of the other plans that have been laid out. That testing will not get there by May 1st. That's just not possible. So that's just true.
But we're going ahead anyway, Mike.
I know. Mike DeWine says this is going to be gradual because we don't have any details yet. Hopefully we'll get some details, perhaps even later today. By the time you hear this, we'll have more details. But he says it's a balancing act. It's a high wire act. But they think that the economic harm being done now is coming close to permanent economic harm, and that's why he thinks it's important to safely reopen, even though it does not look like our cases are declining. We don't really know, and our deaths are not declining. They've plateaued, but they haven't declined. We're not on the way down yet.
I would assume that when they came up with this plan, they expected cases to begin declining by May 1st, right? I mean, that's you can't logistically have businesses reopening as the number of cases is still increasing. We're still about a week away from May 1st. We certainly won't meet the two-week deadline. And we don't know, again, exactly what's going to happen on May 1st. On May 1st, Governor DeWine could say, okay, I'm giving businesses 2 weeks now to begin preparing. I mean, we don't know. He hasn't even said doors will open on May 1st. He hasn't said which business doors will open. And he's really in a tough spot. He's really has a lot of far-right Republicans. You look at people like Melissa Atkinson running for a state Senate seat here in Central Ohio. She's one of the people in that viral photo banging on the state house door to open up. Andrew Brenner, a Central Ohio state senator who has been leaning on the governor, who we're going to talk about later, but for another reason. But he's among state house Republicans leaning on DeWine to reopen businesses.
There are nearly 1 million Ohioans who have lost their job during this pandemic shutdown. Mm-hmm. 960-some-odd thousand Ohioans have filed claims. So there's certainly more than 1 million Ohioans who are out of work, and they want to get back to work. They're facing rent payments and mortgage payments and food payments and health insurance payments and car payments. No doubt they want to get back to work, but economists say if we go back too quickly, in the long run, it'll be even worse for the economy. The number that the governor is looking at, I think, is hospitalizations, and that definitely has flattened. It hasn't started to go down yet, but it's flattened. and that's the indicator. Deaths are still increasing, but deaths tend to occur 2 weeks after hospitalizations. So the governor feels, and Amy Acton feels, that hospitalizations are flat, that we are, the worst is perhaps behind us because of the social distancing, that the state can start to safely reopen. But even they admit, as soon as we reopen, cases will increase. They say that because people are going to be getting together and spreading the virus.
There's no way to prevent some spreading of the virus. Some people have talked about a need to build herd immunity, which would, you know, I think that's part of the plan in Sweden, where they've taken a pretty radical approach to this. Here in Ohio, it's a lose-lose situation. I mean, it really is. I'm really stumped because every week we're trying to come up with a new explanation on what we should do. A month in, we really haven't seen this surge in hospital cases.
No, that's good.
My wife is an ICU nurse at a hospital in Union County, and she's been getting called off of work lately because they just don't have any patients. There's no elective surgeries. People are scared to go into the hospital for things that they would previously be more ready to go in for. So a lot of hospitals, aside from the COVID units, there's no one. They're empty.
I think that's why the governor this week said that elective surgeries, elective procedures can resume, because I think that was designed to preserve personal protection equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to have
plastic
surgeries using up, you know, masks and gowns and face masks when they were going to need it 2 weeks later to treat COVID-19 patients. Well, that hasn't happened. So these surgeries, maybe not the plastic surgery, but knee replacements, colonoscopies, mammograms, that
things
kind of stuff.
Things that can be delayed.
They'll be resuming. These things have been delayed, and now they can resume. But, you know, I don't know. It's a tough call. I don't envy the governor. I mean, these folks, I mean, there are a lot of folks. We're fortunate. We're still working. But there are a lot of folks who aren't, and they're really freaking out. And, you know, and I think a lot of businesses worry that, okay, we can handle 1 month down, 2 months down.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking liquidation or bankruptcy at that point.
And then things, right, and then things get kicked further down the road, right? People start defaulting on mortgages. People start getting evicted. Landlords can't pay the notes on properties.
Yeah.
Another fallout that we know is coming at this point, government cuts. If people don't get a paycheck, they're not paying state or city income taxes. If they're not going to the shopping mall, they're not buying a car, they're not ordering takeout, you're not paying meal taxes even. That is decimating state and local government budgets. Lieutenant Governor John Husted said this week, not even the big fat Ohio Rainy Day Fund will cover the decline in revenue.
Based on current projections, that $2.7 billion, well, we might need twice that amount just to balance the budget over the next 15 months.
Wow.
More than $5 billion.
There'll be less than 89 cents in the Rainy Day Fund. Remember that?
I don't remember that, no.
That's what John Kasich kept saying. When he came into office, it was only 89
cents in
there.
I do remember that now,
that's because we had just come out of the Great Recession. Well, now the Rainy Day Fund is going
to
have a...
I'm shocked to hear John Kasich would
a $3 billion deficit.
Back like that.
But anyway, that's what the Rainy Day Fund is for, but that's okay.
It is a rainy day. I think it's safe to say this is an economic rainy day.
Yes. The budget, they're looking at probably 15 to 20, maybe as high as 25% budget cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Cities, towns, townships, counties, state government.
Police, fire, services that people really rely on.
Yeah, and it's, you know, then people are losing jobs. So that means more people are going on Medicaid, qualifying for Medicaid, qualifying for public assistance. That increases cost on the other side. There are cuts coming. Now, the next federal stimulus bill is supposed to address city and state government.
Not if Mitch McConnell gets his way.
Yeah, but it's been tough to get that through. And if that doesn't come, you know, who knows? Don't forget, it seems like forever ago, but last July, state lawmakers approved increases in spending for a lot of programs to help low-income families, at-risk children, Lake Erie water protections. And lawmakers approved, remember, a 4% income tax cut that, frankly, I haven't noticed in my paycheck. I don't know if you've noticed that 4% income tax cut. It was like $30 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And lawmakers kept that sole proprietor tax break fully funded. Remember the $250,000
sure.
thing? So when times were good, taxes were being cut, increases with increases in spending. What happens now is anyone's guess, but I don't know. They will cut. So what are those?
They'll cut. Well, everyone's going to cut. I mean, the money's not going to be there. The last time there was a major recession, the city of Columbus somehow, some way, passed a pretty significant income tax increase.
Yes.
I don't know.
August election helped. in the dead of summer. Yes.
Sure, it did, of course, but it still passed.
Yes, it did.
People don't like to raise their taxes even in August, and we were in 2009, not a good economic year. It was a pretty fraught economic time.
It was the middle of the recession.
It was, certainly, and the city of Columbus, former Mayor Coleman here, somehow, some way, helped get that passed. I don't know if the state would even consider doing something similar. I very much doubt they would with the conservative legislature we have here. But there's going to be a point where they need to find money from somewhere to pay for Medicaid, to pay for myriad other state programs. They're going to have to find the money or just in the programs.
Yeah, I mean,
some serious decisions ahead.
I don't know. I don't know how they do it without some kind of a tax increase. I really don't. If it is bad as what they're saying, if we go another month with a near complete shutdown and the federal money doesn't come through, we're talking layoffs of dozens, if not scores, of police officers and firefighters in the major cities. If they've been cutting taxes consistently now for 20 years in the state of Ohio, that we haven't had really a tax increase. Taxes do go up once in a while. Now, they always say recession's the worst time to raise taxes, and they always follow up with, okay, what's the best time to raise taxes? And when times are good, like we had last summer, they're cutting taxes and with no real impact on the budget. And so, but you're right. I don't think Larry Householder goes for a tax increase. I really don't.
You know, the legislature did sign off on a gas tax increase recently.
Not as much as Mike DeWine wanted, though.
I understand, but the legislature did realize that we were facing, at least what they thought at the time, I guess the word crisis, that term has kind of evolved since then. But at the time, DeWine thought this was a really important thing. He was a brand new governor at the time. This was early 2019, and he spearheaded a tax increase that wasn't what he wanted. It wasn't the original 18 cents a gallon that he proposed. But the legislature did sign off on Ohioans paying more for gasoline so we could fix our roads.
Yeah.
So they're not completely opposed to revenue increases.
But DeWine really didn't want this 4% tax cut. He really wanted to cut back on the sole proprietor thing, and the legislature did it anyway. And, you know, he went along with it. Times were good. They could afford it. What it really will be, it will be interesting because they're going to get a lot of pressure from cities and townships, not just the big cities like Columbus, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. The Republican legislature can ignore those cities, but there are a lot of other cities and towns that are going to be facing big cuts in rural areas, and those state lawmakers will be hearing from their township trustees, from their county commissioners in rural Ohio, and we'll see what happens. I could see them possibly doing a temporary tax hike.
That's interesting. That's a thing? I've never even heard of that.
Oh, yeah. You can do a temporary tax hike, and then the joke is that every temporary tax hike becomes permanent.
Sure.
But if it sunsets and it ends in 2 years, then it goes back.
On All Sides with Ann Fisher, we cover the topics that affect life in Central Ohio, from immigration to the economy to the continuing opioid crisis.
But the reality is if you don't save someone who's overdosed, they have no opportunity to recover.
Hear thoughtful, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter now. Subscribe to the All Sides with Ann Fisher podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Finally this week, longtime listeners to this podcast know that we sometimes offer advice to our local leaders. One piece of advice we often have is don't call someone else a Nazi or compare a policy decision to Hitler. Those comparisons really very rarely work out for you.
No, they're very rarely even close to being valid, and they just don't work. I mean, Democrats and Republicans have both compared their opponents to Nazis. Our advice is just don't do it. But this week, State Senator Andrew Brenner of Delaware agreed with his wife's accusation that Health Director Amy Acton was issuing orders similar to Nazi Germany.
Let's lay this out here because there have been some accusations of misquoting. So here are the facts. When talking about opening up businesses, Dr. Amy Acton endorses some kind of program where people could prove that they're immune to the coronavirus. Here is exactly what she said.
In some countries, they're looking at certificates to say that, and then that you are immune and therefore kind of able to go about your business. And I think that would be a dream thing if we can get to something like that.
Well, that raised the eyebrows of a lot of conservatives and some civil libertarians, but Delaware conservative activist and wife of State Senator Andrew Brenner, Sarah Marie Brenner, took it a step further, writing on Facebook, and let's quote it directly, "With a German accent, In your head, you say, show me your papers. This is downright scary. You don't issue people certificates to be able to function outside their home. You don't issue certificates to allow them to go to work. This is the mark of the beast type mark. This is worse than China, for heaven's sake. This actually feels like Hitler's Germany, where you had to have blonde hair and blue eyes to be able to function anywhere, and you were damned otherwise. Again, that was Sarah Marie Brenner. And then her husband wrote, Steve, you can take it over from here.
Yeah, that was Sarah Marie Brenner. Her husband, Andrew Brenner, a state senator from Delaware County here in Central Ohio, replied, writing, quote, "We will never allow that to happen in Ohio." Brenner said he was misquoted for something that he wrote, right? People are just quoting what he wrote on Facebook. And he apologized to Acton, not for what he wrote, but for how it was reported. That might be the most 2020 thing I've ever heard. Every Republican leader has criticized the remarks, but in varying degrees.
This reminds me of the times Charles Barkley, the NBA star, claimed he was misquoted in his autobiography. Remember that?
We have seen Governor DeWine, quote, condemned these comments.
He was the strongest, I think, of all the Republicans. You know, I don't know if he used the word disgusting, but it came through that he didn't like it and in the least and condemned it. Didn't ask for him to resign, though. Didn't ask for Senator Brenner to resign. Nobody on the GOP side has asked for him to resign, give up his seat. Frankly, he's not very well liked. He's in that far, far right. I think the establishment Republicans are not particularly fond of Andrew Brenner.
Yeah, we just heard from him on this show last week. I interviewed him a little over a week ago at this point because he was one of the first state lawmakers coming out telling DeWine to reopen, saying, hey, these models are way off. In that interview, I did ask him point blank, do you think Governor DeWine or Amy Acton had any other intentions when they imposed these tough restrictions on business? And he was very, very deferential. He was complimentary of them even. He said, no, I think their intentions were good. They were altruistic. He just thinks that they've gotten to the point where these restrictions should be lifted. That is certainly not how his wife came across in this on Facebook. So talking about blonde hair and blue eyes and Nazis. And this is...
Yeah, what makes it worse is Amy Acton is Jewish.
Yeah.
So comparing, you know, not only the state health director to Nazis, but a Jewish American state health director.
And there were
Nazis.
Some anti-Semitic signs that popped up at rallies outside the state house.
Yeah. And DeWine did condemn that yesterday afternoon during his press briefing on Wednesday afternoon. And this was before this all came out. This Facebook post came out. And it's just gotten ugly. That protest down at the state house is just really ugly. And you have to remember that the polls show consistently that roughly 15% of Americans don't believe that the coronavirus is real and we should reopen, regardless of the health risks. 15% is certainly not a majority of Americans. We have to always remember to keep that in perspective. They get a lot of attention, perhaps too much attention, but we have to cover these folks.
I'm surprised that 15% think it's fake. I know that a lot of people think we should reopen, you know, health risks be damned, but 15% think it's fake.
I think the 15% don't think it's serious enough to shut down the economy.
Yeah.
You know.
On a lighter note now, we will finish with our Mugwump of the Week segment. This is where we have traditionally named our Snollygoster of the Week. It's an award that we give out to the shrewdest political move of the week. But in the spirit of a united country, a united state, we switch to the Mugwump of the Week. It goes to the most altruistic or good-spirited person of the past 7 days. Or in this case, Mike, dogs.
Yes, dogs.
Dogs can bring us together.
When in doubt, turn to your pets. The Franklin County Animal Shelter reports a 90% increase in inquiries about pet adoptions during the pandemic. We don't have statewide numbers, but we can be rest assured that people being ordered to stay at home, away from other humans, are adopting more dogs.
Sure they are.
I've had several friends on Facebook showing off pictures of their brand new puppy.
As they should.
Yeah.
Dogs can bring us together. Everyone likes dogs.
Of course, the worry is that after this is all over and people go back to work and they have to work 80 hours a week now instead of, you know, working from home for 20 hours a week, that the dog will get ignored and the dog will get sent back to the shelter. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. I haven't heard any reports of people adopting more tigers, so that's good.
No.
Is the Tiger King even a thing? It's 2020. I mean, even...
Is it
still viral?
I don't know. It's number one on Netflix.
Is it still number one?
And they had an extra episode. It wasn't very good, but they had an extra episode, and he's the...
Anyway, feed your puppy. Take it on a walk. Just stay away from other humans. Until next week, I'm Steve Brown.
And I'm Mike Thompson. We should mention our student producer, Jack Long, and our audio engineer, Eric French. Helping us during the pandemic?
They certainly are.
They could be called mugwumps, I guess, right?
They're mugwumps.
All right, so for them and for Steve, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.